right, the 51st annual Fiesta Bowl parade is taking place this Saturday, December 16th at 10 a.m. The parade is free, open to the public, reserved seating available. And the theme of this year's parade, Wolf, is Spirit of Competition. Honoring this year's theme, former ASU and NFL quarterback Jake Plummer and former Moon Valley High School, University of Arizona, and NBA standout Richard Jefferson are going to be honored as grand marshals. You can find more information at fiestable.org/parade. And we're going to talk to one of the grand marshals right now. Richard Jefferson is joining us on the Arizona Sports Line. Richard, thank you for the time. What have you ever? Did you ever expect to be a grand marshal for the Fiesta Bowl?
No. And let me tell you how excited I am about this. Like, I grew up going to the Fiesta Bowl block party, hanging out on Mill Ave, you know, in the late 90s, having a lot of fun. So to be a part of it, to be recognized by the Fiesta Bowl, it's just the state of Arizona. That is something that, you know, I am so honored. Shoot, my son's name is Phoenix. So it's like, I'm such an Arizona guy through and through. So this is an amazing opportunity and so much fun.
No, I think it is so cool, Richard. It really is, to be a grand marshal. But what are you going to be riding in? Have they told you what you're going to be riding in? Do you know what it is?
I'm going to be really, really honest and shout out my guy Scott at Fiesta Bowl. My schedule has been so nutty because of the in-season tournament, the start of the NBA season, Draymond getting suspended, Giannis chasing after rookies for balls. I haven't even gotten the full intensity of what it is, when I'm going to be, you know, the whole situation. So the next couple of days, I really get to finally lock in and really enjoy and kind of soak in this moment.
So cool.
I kind of want to get into the honest thing now, but we got Richard Jefferson. I do want to ask you about Draymond, since you mentioned him there. Richard, obviously it was against the Suns, so there was a lot of emotion in this city, but I don't want to say surprised, but it was an eye-opener how much emotion there was just around the world of basketball for that particular Draymond transgression. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, my issue was, look, I had Draymond as a rookie. I love Draymond. I think when it comes to competitors, he's one of the great that the NBA have ever seen. But that doesn't excuse you from having a certain amount of professional respect. And I think he has lost a bit of understanding that this isn't about you. This is about the league. This is about your team. And the entire group can achieve great things when we're all locked in. And for me, players aren't being protected. When players go into a game and there is an individual, Draymond, or in the past it was Ron Artest, there's been other guys that have had some consistent situations. When you go into a game and a player can't feel protected, and on top of it, if Draymond acts out and a melee happens, or if a player decides to actually treat Draymond the way he's treating people, the problem is that if Yusuf Nurkic would have gotten up and punched him in his face, then Yusuf is now suspended. So everyone has to show restraint except for the individual that is out here causing the havoc. To me, I was very, very supportive of the NBA's decision. Even more so, I was supportive of the NBA PA, who is led right now on an interim basis by Andre Iguodala, former Arizona Wildcat, also one of Draymond's teammates. The NBA PA is not appealing it, and they support it because the Players Association wants this to get handled by Draymond, because if he drags a 7-footer by his neck, if he stomps on an All-Star's chest in a playoff game, and now he's swinging wildly and hitting people in their head, like, these are things that, like, what if these players are missing games because of behavior from a consistent behavior? This isn't a one-off. This is consistent behavior now by Draymond, and it needs to be addressed.
It just seems so out of control, Richard, that it made me think that Draymond Green might want to get out of Golden State and get away from Steve Kerr. Have you heard anything like this?
Let me be very, very clear. Removing yourself from this situation isn't going to change the situation. Let's put this in perspective. If you are any team that were to trade for Draymond, who is a future Hall of Famer, but his value is probably at its lowest, he's got 3 years left on his contract after this year. If Draymond makes any mistake, even if, let's say, the Lakers or the Phoenix Suns were to bring him in, if he makes a mistake 6 months from now, every mistake he has done 10 years prior will come into effect here. This is not like, oh, you're in a new team, now we're not going to count everything. Your career follows you. And so if he goes to a new team and gets into a melee and now he's suspended again, so it's not even like, I need to remove myself from this situation to get a fresh start. There is no fresh start for Draymond. Draymond needs to remove himself from this situation to get the help that he needs so that he can better control himself, so that he can go and try and win more championships, because they do have a team that has the caliber of doing it. Are they the favorites? No. Are they in the mix when healthy and playing well? Yes.
We're talking to Richard Jefferson. You know, Richard, obviously Draymond's always played with that sort of edge. You were on the 2016 Cavs team that won the title, and he had an incident with LeBron in that series. I mean, have you seen this get worse progressively, or like, what do you think's going on?
Well, I think every situation has been a one-game suspension, right? And now let's just talk about the NBA suspending him one game for this, one game for that. Now, yes. Did that contribute? I don't think that's the only reason why we won a championship, but losing him, that definitely did contribute to us getting a stranglehold on the momentum. But people forget, it was an accumulation of things that he had done over the course of the postseason. Don't forget what he did to Steven Adams. That was the big one. And the NBA told him, if you have any other incident, then you're going to get suspended. It just happened to be in game four of the NBA Finals. So it was a pattern of behavior that led to the suspension in the finals, not that one situation that ultimately he got suspended for. And don't forget, there are situations that we all know about where Draymond has been suspended by the Warriors. By the Warriors for conduct detrimental to a team. So if you add that to the list of things that the Warriors have suspended him for, the things that the NBA has suspended him for, and don't forget even the Jordan Poole situation that happened last year, where Jordan Poole shouldn't have put his hands on Draymond. Draymond shouldn't have punched him. But at the end of the day, he wasn't suspended for that. And look, you don't suspend players for practice situations. But at the end of the day, you see visually what happened, and there was really no repercussion other than his image being changed and then him taking some time away, and then he was there on ring ceremony opening night. So there's been a bunch of unchecked situations, and the NBA finally stepped in and said, you're not learning your lesson. The Warriors aren't doing a very good job of controlling this, and you're not doing a very good job of controlling yourself.
Richard, what did you think of the Suns' big three, and what did you think of the Suns' big three debut last night?
Just outstanding. Like so much now, and more so than any time probably in history, the health of your big three. If you're going to be so top loaded, you got to make sure those guys are healthy. And then you got to have two on the floor, one off. You got to be able to do that type of stuff. If you're not doing that, I think the success of these guys goes to Eric Gordon, Grayson Allen. These are the guys. If Grayson Allen plays well, Eric Gordon plays well. If they keep getting quality minutes from Jusuf Nurkić, or if they get quality minutes from any one of that kind of core group of secondary players, they're going to be very, very, very difficult to beat.
Richard, in your experience, you know, how long do you think it'll take for them to really kind of get going? And do you think having Kevin Durant, who's been in this position before, helps speed that up?
No. This is an unpopular opinion, and I'll share it with you guys. It's just you two, okay?
Right,
I'm just going to share it with you.
Okay, good.
It typically takes a second year, right? The second year is typically the best team. Like, we can use LeBron as a template. Won a championship his second year in Cleveland. His second year in Miami. His second year in L.A. When the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol, they went to the finals that first year, but then they won it the second year. There are a lot of times when you bring these groups together, it takes time. Greatness takes time, like being cohesive. Understand the Denver Nuggets, these guys have played together for you know, 7-8 years, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Jokic. They've had the same coach that entire time. So why would we think that if we were to put the Suns and the Denver Nuggets both healthy in a situation, they're going to have the understanding, they're going to have the fluidity, where Phoenix is still learning that fluidity, and that's the beautiful thing about where the Phoenix Suns are. Kevin Durant multiple years, Devin Booker multiple years, and Bradley Beal multiple years. So they have time to fill out their roster. They have time to get better and really become a cohesive unit, because it's hard enough to win a championship, especially when everyone is coming together. Can they win a championship this year? Yes. Do I think that they will be better next year? Yes, I do.
Speaking of Devin Booker right there, what do you think is of Book as a point guard going forward, Richard?
Love it. Love it. I love Devin Booker as a point guard. I was one of the loudest people that said, if you look at big threes over the course of history, you always had a ball control set up guy. Draymond in Golden State when they had Clay and all of and Kevin Durant and Steph. They also had Andre Iguodala. If you go and look at in Miami, LeBron, we know him to be a point guard. If you go look at the Boston Big Three, they had Rondo. So I was very concerned of like, hey, who's going to be their setup guy? Who's going to take less and make sure everyone else eats and make sure everyone... And Devin Booker has shown us that not only is he one of the best basketball players, but he's really one of the best basketball minds in this game, that he can adjust his game to kind of fit wherever he wants and to make sure that everyone else... That is a next level accomplishment. To me, it's been one of the most impressive things that I have seen throughout his entire career. I like what he did here more than scoring 70 points. This is more impressive to me, him showing that he can facilitate, because there's only a few guys in the league that can do it. LeBron, James Harden, Luka. There's only a few guys that can score 30 and also beat you with a pass, and I think Devin Booker is going to continue getting better as a point guard, and he's already done a pretty good job.
Richard Jefferson, congratulations on the Grand Marshal of the Fiesta Bowl, man. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, buddy.
Man, thank you guys so much. I'm so excited. Hopefully we get a chance to see you guys when I'm out there.
Absolutely.